listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Family Sanctuary, a show that inspires living the gospel message in word and deed within our families. And now, Family Sanctuary with host Peggy Hartshorn.
Welcome to the Family Sanctuary on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. I'm your host, Peggy Hartshorn, president of Heartbeat International that advances life-affirming pregnancy help around the world and now in over 60 countries. So thank you for being with us today. And we have a very interesting subject and guest for you, particularly if you are interested in how do we help our young people make more decisions that will lead to success in life. Our guest, Catherine Wood, is an expert in what she calls relationships under construction. How do we help young people construct the kind of relationships that they need in life to actually be successful? So, Catherine, you've done many programs with us. We've got some in our archives. Welcome back to the program.
Thanks so much, Peggy. It's great to be here.
Great to have you. And Catherine and I are old friends as well. I should say dear friends. We're not that old, right?
Right.
But your work in what we used to call abstinence education, of course, dovetails perfectly with the work God has called me into, which is pro-life in pregnancy help. Because when people have a crisis pregnancy, which leads them to our pregnancy help centers all over the world, and we hope more and more of them to those pregnancy help centers, we know, generally speaking, that they have not been making the kinds of life choices, relationship building that is going to lead to healthy childbearing, and the kind of support they need, you know, to have a child and to raise a child successfully. You know, they're in a crisis. They didn't intend to be pregnant at that particular point. So they haven't been making the kind of positive life decisions that your organization is trying to teach them in the school curriculum. And of course, what parents are trying to teach their children to try to help them avoid some of the mistakes that can lead to big challenges in the future. We know that God is good, and that even when people become pregnant at the wrong time, or when they aren't married, when they don't have a life partner to really help them raise that child, that doesn't mean disaster.
Right.
It doesn't mean that the child doesn't deserve to be born, certainly, or to be welcomed into a family. But it does indicate that somehow the messages that we're trying to help our young people to come to know and accept about how to really be a successful, how to become a successful family, some people aren't getting the word. Some people aren't understanding the message, or they haven't developed the kind of character that they're following in the proper steps to actually become successful. And we've talked in a previous program, Catherine, about what is now called success sequencing. We're going to get back to that a little bit. But your organization, let me just say, Relationships Under Construction, which has developed a phenomenal curriculum that's used in public schools as well as in some Christian and Catholic schools as well, is now being taught in 69 counties in our state of Ohio.
We finally got that number right, didn't
we? Yes, we did. 69 counties. We were adding the counties where you are administering a state grant. You now are administering the state of Ohio grant on sexual risk avoidance education. All right. So we're not, yes, we're focusing on sexual risk avoidance. What are the risks of sexual relationships outside of marriage? Often we're thinking the risks being sexually transmitted diseases, which are disastrous. But there are other risks as well, including the risk of having children outside of marriage, which is a risk to those children. This is something we want to get back to. So your program, Relationship Under Construction, is really a leader in the state of Ohio in helping all children understand the message that we want to really be speaking also in our families. So thank you for all of that wonderful work that you've done through the years and are still doing in our schools.
And I have you to thank, Peggy, because following your leadership, we also founded Pregnancy Resources of Delaware County.
Yes.
Which is a pregnancy center. And we work with 20 pregnancy centers in our 32 main counties that we work with.
Wow.
We're working with all the pregnancy centers that we can find there.
Good. So pregnancy centers are partners.
Yes. They're partners of ours, and we are their program in the schools.
That's wonderful. So when pregnancy centers in the state of Ohio have school programs in what we used to call abstinence education or prevention for these crisis pregnancies, they're using Relationships Under Construction.
Yes.
That's exciting.
Yes.
I'm glad that we're in partnership.
Yes.
Well, let's talk about just briefly the success sequencing that that now there's a lot of secular research. What we've known and taught in pregnancy centers, there is God's plan and God's order to how we sequence our sexual relationships. And marriage, of course, should come first. So now the secular research has caught up with that, obviously.
I'm so excited.
We want to talk about that, but then we're going to focus in on how do you pedagogically actually teach these concepts? How do you do it in the schools? And how can parents do it in the home?
Right.
But first, let's start. What is the sexual, the now success sequencing?
Well, it's so exciting to see secular research catch up to what God has already taught us is true. And the life success sequence is basically having young people get their education first, which they talk about in the study as at least a high school diploma. And then second, they get a full-time job. That means they're up and out the door every morning or whenever to go to their full-time job. And then get married, and then after that, finally have children.
Mm-hmm.
So that success sequence helps them become financially successful. And the actual report,
raise a family.
Yes, the actual report is called Pathway to the Middle Class, and helping our young people understand what it takes if they want to be financially successful in life. This is what it takes to get to the middle class in America.
Mm-hmm. And kind of the American dream, which we still have, which I think of as, you know, those old pictures of the houses in the suburb, surrounded by the picket fences, where you've got a family living in these houses and going out to work every day and raising their children.
And there's proof, you know, that men make more money, and if they have a family to support, they will strive to do better in their job to support their family.
So I'm sure that's true of mothers as well.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
It's very important. So when we look at that, it says 55% of millennial parents have put childbearing before marriage. And so we need only, 45% have put childbearing after marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And so those
less than the majority,
those that put childbearing after marriage are more successful financially.
Mm-hmm.
They do better in life.
And of course, I'm sure we can find other studies, cite other studies that show not only that they do better in life, but their children also do better in life.
And you know, when you compare that with baby boomers, we said that, 75% of them were able to have children after marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were much more financially successful, in the long run and in reaching the middle class than
because
the people
that did put marriage before childbearing.
They put marriage before childbearing.
Right.
Yes. And that doesn't mean that if someone gets pregnant outside of marriage, that child should be aborted or anything. It just means that it's more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
We would never want anybody to think that abortion was the answer. It is not the answer.
Right.
So
that's why we're offering so much support when that does happen, because you need more support.
You need more support, and then
it's going to be more difficult.
It's going to be more difficult, but you can still reach the American dream.
Right.
If you really work hard at it and you realize that marriage is important.
Yeah. Well, how do you, as a teacher, and this is what we want to focus in on, help children to get this pedagogically. Obviously, we don't just give them the research and say, now follow this path.
Can I talk just a little bit about what the classroom looks like these days?
That's a good point.
Because I think that understanding what the classroom looks like actually helps us be able to teach them in a way that they can be more accepting of this message.
Right. And we're talking about now just normal middle school, high schools in the state of Ohio.
Right.
What do these classrooms look like in terms of their makeup?
Yes. And one of the things that we know from Barna research is that more than 80% of young people who attend the public schools do not attend church in some areas. More than 80%.
Wow.
So we have a spiritual crisis. It's a crisis on our hands. We need missionaries to the United States, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so we know.
So 80% of the
children. In some areas. Some areas it's lower. Some areas it's a little bit higher.
Mm-hmm.
But it's about 80%. That do not attend church regularly. Mm-hmm. Yes,
in our public schools.
And part of that is their parents just doesn't that they don't think it is important any, but it really is.
Mm-hmm.
We have a vacuum if we don't have that, you know. So that's one thing. And then, according to many studies, including adverse childhood experiences, which we call ACEs, divorce.
Adverse childhood experiences. Okay.
Divorce is an immense cause of trauma in young people's lives. And in 2017, there were 1,250,000 children ages birth to 17 living with a single divorced parent in the United States.
Mm.
Now, it doesn't mean that they can't be successful. It just means they have more issues to deal with. And the loss that young people are experiencing also includes the fact that 48% of babies are now born out of wedlock. So when I look at the classroom, we understand that young people are grieving loss. Mm-hmm. Even those children that have both biological parents and they're living with them, they have a good family, they're sitting in classrooms where more than half of that classroom is grieving. And that grief causes great problems with children and their schooling and actually, you know, becoming mature, successful adults. And they will handle it in different ways. And so if we can understand that, then that gives us a way to approach the kids, understanding that they are, you know, facing these difficult issues.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that we tell them is our goal is to strengthen future families. So we talk about the fact that if we want to strengthen future families, first of all, do you as a classroom think that families need to be strengthened? Well, now, obviously, they do.
You know? So do you ever get many students who say, no, I don't think families
Never.
Should be strengthened? It's like a unanimous. Everyone
thinks. Unanimous, okay. Yes. Because even the kids that are in good families, I mean, families that are functionally doing well, they know there's a big problem.
Because their friends, many of their friends are from families that aren't doing well.
Yes. So we ask a question. We say we long for a forever home, but what does forever mean? Often people, or sometimes we hear the word forever and then it does not last.
Mm-hmm.
And you can think, how many times is that here? Happen to children. They're seeing their parents get married again, and they say it's going to be forever, but will it be forever? In a child's mind, you know, it's a hard thing. So often people create new families by getting married, and it seems so happy in the beginning, and they talk about forever. But what happens?
Mm-hmm.
And so, unfortunately, we know that people want their own way. And they want what they want when they want it.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a name for that. What do we call that? And we call it selfishness. You know, so can selfishness wreck families? And of course it can. We all long for a family and a home, but what we're really searching for, we're really searching for certain things in a home. So we talk about a study. Because everybody wants to know, is there research behind this, you know? So IKEA did this research study of 12 global families. Or, I'm sorry, global cities around the world. on what the word home means to us. And then we ask the kids, what does the word home mean to you? What do you think of when you hear the word home? And what IKEA found, we let the kids share first, but what IKEA found is that people listed four things to describe what home means to them. And one was comfort and cared for, two, safety, three, belonging, and four was love. So that's what home was
meaning. And that was universal.
That was universal.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Before you continue, Catherine, I just want to reintroduce you and make sure that our guests understand who you are and what we're talking about today. Our guest today is Catherine Wood, the founder and president of Relationships Under Construction, which is a very successful program in the state of Ohio and, in fact, used also in other states and around the country and some also internationally, to help young people in schools understand what it means to have a healthy relationship and a healthy family. And of course, that involves building lifelong relationships, particularly marriage, before we get involved in sexual activities and have children. We're talking about the success sequence of marriage before children. And in explaining this to young people today, we have to be able to give it to them in a way that they can accept and understand. This is not just some old-fashioned idea that comes from church, which, by the way, you've just pointed out that 80% of the students generally in the public schools don't go to church anyway.
In some areas, it's an average, but you know.
In some areas, even more than that. So we're talking about what does a classroom look like today? What do these young people look like in terms of their own families, the trauma that many of them have been through in the breakup of families, and how, as a teacher, and this works in the home too, we have to help them understand what a healthy relationship looks like and is, particularly if they're from a broken family.
Exactly.
Yeah. So go ahead, Catherine.
And we were talking about the fact that we know that many kids in the classroom are grieving loss. Mm-hmm. You know, either they don't live with two parents and they wish they had the other parent, or they are experiencing divorce. There's just all kinds of things that are going on in that classroom. Mm-hmm. And it's really something that we have to consider as we're teaching that classroom.
And the parents have to consider, these are the friends, this is the peer group for their children, even if they are in an intact family.
Exactly.
Yeah, go ahead.
And I'm hoping our kids that are in functional families have an influence, but that doesn't always mean that they do. Mm-hmm. As we're talking about this, we share about the Wizard of Oz because that's something they can identify with. And how in that movie, Judy Garland, who played Dorothy in the Wizard of Oz, and we are talking about the 1939 version, she said, there's no place like home. And we talk about, if they watched that, did they know that Dorothy was an orphan who went to live with her Aunt Em and Uncle Henry, and she had a crazy dream. And when she woke up, she appreciated her home and adoptive family so much more. And she decided there's no place like home, you know. So then we talk about the family as being the basic unit of civilization, and how research clearly shows that the family is the foundation for the way humanity establishes order for communities and government, and the family unit serves as a way to establish order in any civilization.
We used to have to memorize that in civics classes.
There you go.
I wish they still did. Family is the basic unit of society.
I wish they still did. I don't think they do. Mm-hmm. But then we talk about, what is the opposite of order? And of course, that's chaos. And what's the opposite of a civilized society? And that's a barbaric society. So how would people act if our society is not civilized? Well, we're seeing that, you know, and they know we're seeing that. But we allow them to talk about that a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then, can we agree that we would like to live in a safe civilization? And I think, you know, we can agree that that's what we really, really want. So if we agree that families need to be strong, what are some ways you think families can be strengthened? And students get to say what they think. So they have great ideas. And one of the things that we discuss then is, can single moms and dads raise good children? And of course they can. Mm-hmm. The question is, or the more thoughtful question is, should they have to? Because it's really difficult. Mm-hmm. So we talk about what is the best or most optimal health for individuals and family. And so we want to help them explore what family health is, what good family health would be like over the next several days. And so then we also bring up a survey that students were asked if what was most important to them. And they ranked the following items. They ranked to be wealthy, to be healthy, to have a happy family, and to have a great career. And we asked the kids, which do you think what do you think would be most important to you? And they can say whatever they, you know, think. But what the students said in the survey, which is surprising, is that the most important thing to them was a happy family.
That's good. I was hoping they would say that, more so than being wealthy.
Yes. Now, wealth was number two. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But when you get right down to it, these kids, you can see, as we described the classroom, they're broken.
Yeah. And they realize how important that if you don't have a happy family, these other things...
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because you're not happy.
Yeah. So... So it says to me, Catherine, it's another confirmation what God put in our hearts.
Yes.
Instinctively, he created us for relationship and for lasting relationships with him and, of course, with those who he has placed in our lives and we've chosen to spend our lives with, particularly our spouses and our children and our families. Children know that and want that and yearn for that. And, you know, it's interesting, the question that you ask the children too, should they have to work that hard? Yes. Mm-hmm. Parents raising their children as single parents, yes, they can raise good children.
Yes, they can.
Successful children, and they
and
can be successful.
And many of them are proof of it.
Right, but should they have to? Yeah. I really like that question, because I'm thinking with our own children and grandchildren, sometimes they may look at us as, well, you're judgmental if you think that so-and-so should be doing this instead of that. Well, it's not a matter of being judgmental. Right. It's a matter of saying, should someone have to?
And, you know,
lead their lives that way. What can we do differently so that they don't have to experience that?
And what we look at, Peggy, we know that we are seed planters. Mm-hmm. We're planting ideas to help them think through this maze that they're in.
Right.
So we ask them, if we want to have happy families, how do we get there? We know that many of us come from different types of families. And we say, if your family is functional and healthy, then you have a much better chance of being successful. And that's just common sense, you know. Mm-hmm. So we know that there are all kinds of families. And we help the kids understand that if they cannot change the decisions that adults have made in their lives, they can only decide what they want for their future family.
Right.
And so they have to determine, what do you really want for your future family? That's why I see the pendulum swinging, and we will have healthier families in the future because these kids have been so broken that they are determined to do something different.
To not do the same thing.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we've only got about three more minutes, Catherine. I know our program is gone so fast.
Well, I will just say, we just talk about the success sequence after that. And the last thing that we do is we talk about how can we start right now? And so we're talking, this is sixth and seventh graders. Mm-hmm. We have it in every lesson. But one of the things that they can do right now is to determine to be less selfish with their own family. And so we talk about every day, what did you do to be less selfish with your own family last night when you went home? And just determining, how can we be more thoughtful of others?
And make the healthy relationship something that is a major priority.
Start practicing now.
Yeah.
You know,
strengthen the family that you are in. Reminds me of a picture I saw recently, a poster of
from Mother Teresa that says, if you want peace in the world, go home and love your own family.
That's, you've got to start there.
Yeah. And as you were saying, they know and understand and realize the chaos that of the world that they're living in. And how can you're really empowering them to do something about that chaos.
They can actually take a step and do something right now.
Right. And be more loving and unselfish in their family relationships. Strengthen their own family. That's a beautiful message. Well, thank you so much, Catherine, for being with us and for sharing that message today. It's amazing the challenge that you and the teachers have in our public schools today. And that, of course, is the environment that most of our children are growing up in. Despite what we're trying to do in our own families, they're trying to navigate this world, of broken families. So thank you for sharing and for giving us some messages of hope.
Thank you for allowing me to share.
And you've been listening to AM 820 St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, The Family Sanctuary. Archives of our program are at stgabrielradio.com, and we're streaming live on stgabrielradio.com. Our program, The Family Sanctuary, is broadcast at 4 o'clock every Saturday and 2 o'clock on Sundays. So please join us again to strengthen our families and make them sanctuaries of life as God intended.
Family Sanctuary is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of Family Sanctuary with Peggy Hartshorn are available at stgabrielradio.com.
Sanctus.